This morning, we're going to continue what we've been discussing and looking at. We've been looking at the idea of being a Christian atheist, and I know those two words don't go together, but it's how a lot of us act. Christian says we believe in God. Atheist says we act like he doesn't exist. And many of us, well, not many of all of us, have lived life as Christian atheists at one point or another. Some of us excel at other things, or some things, and others excel at others. And so we are trying to rectify or fix that issue that we have in our life. And so we've looked through several different topics. We talked about the fact that we believe in God, but we don't really know him sometimes. That can be a lot of folks. There's different categories in that. People can believe in God. 70% of Americans believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But I would also say that 70% of Americans, even though believe Jesus is the Son of God, they don't act like it. And it doesn't affect the way they act. It doesn't affect the way they talk. It doesn't affect the way they interact with different folks. And it doesn't affect the way they live their life. They are Christian atheists. And so they believe in God, but they don't really know him. And to be honest with you, a lot of our churches are filled with this type of Christian atheist. They believe in God. They have a head knowledge of God. They can tell you stories about God, but they don't have a relationship. They don't know who God really is. And so we have that type of Christian atheist. We also have the Christian atheist who says, I believe in God, but I don't think he's fair. And that's true. God is not fair, because if God was fair, he would kill you the moment you sinned. Because sin causes death, and he cannot dwell in the presence of sin. And so if God was fair, we would all be dead a long time ago. And so God is not fair, which is a good thing, but the question really is, what do we do when we don't think that things are being fair, that God is being fair to us? And the fact is, we have to just trust God and walk in obedience with him. Some of us believe in God, but we aren't sure that he loves us. We spent time looking at that issue that God can love other people, but I'm too bad. God can love other people, but who am I that God would love me? And we talk through that idea that sometimes we believe there's a God, but there's no way that he loves me. Last week, or a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the fact that some of us believe in God, but we pursue happiness at any cost. We want happiness, even though sometimes happiness is not necessarily what God wants for us, because happiness is determined by what happens around us. So if we think that happiness is what, or if we desire happiness, it doesn't always mean that it's the best thing for us, or even that it is righteous. I mean, hey, it may make you happy to do some sinful things. Usually when we're sinning, we are quote-unquote happy because it's enjoyable for at least a season. And so does God want you sinning and being happy? The answer to that is a resounding no. But God does want you to be blessed, and that's much more than happiness. That's a deeperness than happiness. That can be that I'm going through the worst day of my life. I'm going through the toughest season of what life is about, but I am still blessed because I know there's a joy that Jesus is good, God still loves me, I'm still his child, and we can go through it together. He walks beside me. So that's much more than happiness. That is blessed. Last week, we looked at the fact that some of us believe in God, but we don't share our faith. We believe in God, but we don't share our faith. We say God exists, but we don't tell people about this God. And I'm not just talking about other countries. I'm talking about next door, or maybe even in the same house you live in. We believe that there's a God, but we don't want to tell people about him. When we have good news, we share it. And that's what the gospel is. The gospel is good news. And I think it comes down to the one thing about this is we say there's a hell, but we don't believe it really exists. We don't really live that way. We think that, you know, when we all die, we're going to heaven because we're quote-unquote good people at least one day in our life. And so when someone dies, I've never been to a funeral where someone said, that dude's going to hell. He was horrible, and he's going to hell. it could be the worst person to ever walk this world. And it's, oh, he was a good guy. Deep inside, he was a good guy. And so we don't really believe in hell. And if we really believed in hell and understood that hell is a real place and that people who don't know God go there, we would be much more apt to tell other people about Jesus and the fact that he died for us, because we are sinners and we need God to take away our sin. And by following him and coming after him and giving our life to him, we can avoid, not just avoid hell, but we can know God. I mean, becoming a believer is not so you don't go to hell. That's not the goal in being a believer. It's not going to hell. Not that you don't go to hell, but it's that you get to know God. That's much better than not going to hell. And so today we want to look at what happens when you believe in God, but you don't believe in prayer. You believe in God, but you don't believe in prayer. A lot of us live life as Christian atheists in that we say that there's prayer, but we don't really believe in it. We may pray for something, but we're like, yeah, well, that's not going to happen anyway. And I'm not talking, God, let me win the lotto. Cross my fingers, you know, please. You know, I want a new car. I'm talking real, legitimate God moving my life, God moving someone else's life, God be with this person, heal this person, be with my children. We may pray, but we don't really believe it. Some of us don't even pray at all. There's a story about this town that had this boy in it, and the church members were, and the pastor was like, man, we need to pray that God shuts down that bar because people are getting drunk and they're leaving drunk and accidents are happening. It's a negative thing in our community. And so they begin to pray that God would shut down the bar. God, please shut down the bar. On Wednesday nights, they would pray. They would pray that God would help the bar to shut down. And then all of a sudden, lightning struck and the bar burnt down. And the guy who owns the bar owner, is infuriated and he's angry and he files a lawsuit. And he goes to the judge and he says, Judge, my bar burnt down because these people prayed that it would burn down. This church prayed that it would burn down and it burnt down. So I'm suing them for the value of my bar. And then the pastor, as the defendant, says, Hold up, Judge. We did pray, but we didn't really think anything would happen. And the judge says, I can't believe what I'm hearing. Here before me today, I've got a bar owner who believes in prayer and a pastor who doesn't. And to be honest with you, more times than not, we're the pastor who doesn't than the bar owner who does. Prayer is an important thing. It is a lifeline for you as a believer. It is the way we communicate with God. It is the best thing that you can do as a believer. It is a wonderful, wonderful gift. But Christian atheists believe in God, but they don't believe in prayer. They will pray very rarely. They think, well, God got it all figured out. Who am I to ask him to change things? When we do pray, we don't expect very much change, if any at all. So why don't we pray? If I asked you, why don't you pray, some of your answers may be that, well, we just feel that we aren't good enough. Who am I to ask God to do something or to give something? Maybe you just say, I get bored with prayer. On Wednesday nights, we've been talking about different disciplines, and over the last few weeks, we talked about prayer, and we talked about, hey, why don't you make it a discipline that every day you pick one place, you pick one time, and for 5 minutes, you're going to pray. And 2 minutes in, our mind is gone, and we get bored with it, and we say, oh, well, this is a waste of my time. We get bored with prayer. Some of you may say that you don't want to bother God with the small requests. Like, God, do you really care if the saints win today? We do, but does God care? You know, and that's just, you know, one of those questions that we throw out. Maybe we think that our prayer won't even make a difference. We say God is all-powerful, God is all-knowing, what's going to happen, it's going to happen. So if I pray, it doesn't really make a difference. However, if we look at Scripture, prayers make differences. Not only does it change some of our circumstances, but the most important change is that it changes us. Start praying for someone you hate. I mean, really pray for them. Not that God kills them or that God takes them out. Not like the bar prayer, but really pray that God would show you how to love them and that God would bestow blessings on them. And you pray for God to prosper them and to be with them and to bless them. And let me see after a week, after you really praying for that person and rooting for that person, if you still hate them. Prayer will change you. Some of us don't pray because we say, well, I just don't have the right words. I'm not eloquent enough. You know, we've heard people pray throughout the years, especially if you've grown up in church. You've got that one guy who speaks in King James when he talks to God, and the thees and the thous, and oh, magnificent one shows up, and you're like, well, I don't pray like that, so my prayer isn't legitimate. It's not eloquent enough. There's no way God hears me, you know, because he hears that guy, and who am I to be like him? Let me give you the truth about things, though. God loves the prayers of imperfect people. God loves the prayers of imperfect people, because guess what? God likes when I pray, and boy, am I imperfect. Imperfect. God loves when you pray, because it's imperfect. And God doesn't need you to have the proper sentence structure. He doesn't need you to speak in Victorian English. He doesn't need you to speak in Greek or Hebrew. He doesn't need you to give all the Sunday school answers. God just wants you to talk to him. So, what is prayer? I want to spend the next few minutes looking at a few things that prayer is, and then I want to end with the idea or the issue of unanswered prayer. The first thing I think that prayer is that prayer is honest communication. Honest communication. The best definition of prayer is that it is communication with God. It is a gut level honesty. It is, God, this is what's going on today. A lot of us read portions of scripture and we fail to realize how gut-wrenching and how just out there people are. Go and read a few Psalms when David's running from Saul and he's like, God, what's going on? It is a horrible day. And he doesn't mix words. He doesn't say, God, I'm having a tough day today and things are going not my way. He's like, God, today is wretched. This guy is trying to kill me. What's going on? Where are you at? And there's a deep emotional just gut-wrenching truth about the prayers we find in Psalm. There are other places where we can find just deep, brutal honesty. If we look at it's Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, it says, whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. And I assure you, they've got their reward. And so he's saying, there are some people who will pray, and it's a show. It's a, hey, I have eloquent words, and hey, I have good diction, and hey, I know how to say the right things, and I've got the right way of talking, and look at me and how good I sound as a preacher or as a prayer. Now, if you have good diction and you have proper terminology, that's not a bad thing. Don't hear me saying that. But what I'm saying is if you're like, hey, look at how I'm praying, doesn't it sound good? God's like, you're wasting my time. I can care less how good you think you sound. And then he goes on to verse 7. He also says, when you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Some people say, well, I prayed for an hour. Okay, what did you say in that hour? Did you just repeat the same thing? Did you say anything that was worthwhile? Did you really talk to God? Did you just say a bunch of words? Was it like babbling? Were you wasting your time? Or were you really gut-wrenched talking to God? Honest communication. God, this is what's going on today. I'm having a wretched day. I'm having a horrible day. God, thank you that today is not as bad as yesterday. God, thank you today for whatever, whatever. Whatever's going on in your life, are you being honest with God? Let me give you an example of an honest prayer that we find in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is one of those itty bitty books toward the end of the Old Testament. And in Habakkuk, he prays, and this is what he says. How many of you would say this to God? He says, how long, Lord? Let me start over because I've blown it three times already. How long, Lord, must I call for help and you do not listen, or cry out to you about violence and you do not save? Why do you force me to look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Oppression and violence are right in front of me. Strife is ongoing and conflict escalates. Habakkuk is saying, God, where are you? This world is going to pot. What's going on? Where are you at? This is gut-wrenching, true. God, I don't understand life right now. And a lot of times we think that if we tiptoe around God and we don't be honest with him, if we're not ever negative with him and say, I'm having a bad day, or we never say, God, I don't understand this. We don't ever say, God, what's going on? We're never really honest with God. We think God blesses that somehow. But how many of you in a real conversation with a friend will say, I'm not having a good day today? I know some people, they can have their leg in a vice, and you say, how you doing? And they're like, I'm doing good. Great. Why are you carrying that thing around? I don't know. It just grabbed onto my leg, and I can't get rid of it, but I'm having a great day. Really? And we're not honest. We're not truthful. I know one person, how you doing? And they are having a horrible day. They're not doing good at all. And they'll say, it's okay. And I want to say, no, it's not. So you're having a tough day? And they'll say, yeah. We think that if we're not honest with God, if we don't put on a show with God, that we're fooling him. How foolish are we that we think we can really hide from God? When I'm a parent, and my kids are still young, so they don't mind coming sit in my lap and hanging out with me. My kids are learning to beat around the bush, but I really don't like that. I'd rather you just tell me what you want. But if Eli or Asa or Amos climb up in my lap, I don't want to hear this. Oh, great Father, I am blessed to live in this abode, this wonderful house which you have provided for me, this great bed that I have that is soft and luxurious and wonderful to sleep in as I lay my head down at night. However, the temperature in the room is sometimes a little bit frigid, and I don't understand what to do. I'd rather Eli say, Dad, I'm cold. Papa, can I get a blanket? But we treat God that way. We treat him as if we have to speak to him like he's just really weird and out there, when God just wants honest communication. Honest communication. Too many of us try to beat around the bush. Just tell God what it is that you want. Just tell God what it is that you need. Sometimes you may get it, sometimes you may not. We'll deal with that later. But this is the thing. Just be honest with him. Just be honest. The second thing that prayer is, it not only is it honest communication, it needs to be constant communication. A lot of you have a best friend. And that best friend, man, you just love talking to him or her. If you go a day without talking to him or her, it's just a bad day. It was wretched. Like, you go on vacation and you still call back and talk to them about all the great things you did. Especially if you're a woman. Guys, maybe not. You get back and you say it was good and communicated just fine. But women, you want to say everything you did because you want to talk to this best friend. You want to be honest with them. You just talk openly with them. How would you like it if you only talked to that person once a month? or once a week, you probably wouldn't like it at all. That would not be the best thing for you. Because you want to talk to that person. You want to talk to them not just once or twice, but you text throughout the day. You send messages wanting to know how things are going or telling them what you did. And that's what I want you to understand about prayer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, it says, pray constantly. That's one verse. That's a verse you need to circle and put up on your mirror or put on your dashboard of your car. It says, pray constantly. It goes on to say, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray constantly. Now, that doesn't mean that you sit down and you say long prayers constantly. It doesn't mean that if you don't pray from 5 in the morning till 7 in the morning, you're not holy. It doesn't mean that if you don't take breaks throughout the day in which you have prayer, it doesn't mean you're bad. But the point is this. Sometimes you can have quick prayers throughout your day. Just like you text that friend and say what's going on and you ask a question. The idea of praying constantly is not that you are always sitting down on your knees with your hands crossed praying to God. The point is that you are constantly throughout your day interacting with Him. Maybe you get someone say, hey, will you pray for me for this? And you pray for them. Right then, right there. Talked about this Wednesday night. Sometimes we say, oh, I'll pray for you. And it's not that we don't want to, but we forget because we have our prayer time later. Why don't you stop right there, whatever, or just keep going, whatever you're doing, and pray for that person. You get a text. I get texts all the time. Hey, pray for this or pray for that or I'm going through this. Pray for this family. And so I pray for them because I want to honor that prayer request. Pray for them there. Pray for them then. Pray for them in that moment. And so the idea is that you're in constant communication with God. You're, God, you know, help me with this. Or God, give me the best words for this. Or God, I'm about to go in this meeting. Help it not to be too boring. God, help, you know, whatever it is. God, I'm trying to sell a product to someone. Will you give me the words? You know, whatever it is that you're going throughout your day. God cares about it. And He just wants to have that constant communication with you. Which brings us to the third thing, that prayer is honest, prayer is constant, but prayer is two-way communication. Prayer is two-way communication. It's a conversation, not a monologue. A monologue is when someone stands up and talks, kind of like what I'm doing. That is a monologue. It's one-sided. Only one person gets to tell the story. Only one person gets to do all the talking. Prayer is not a monologue. It's a conversation. It's give and take. There's talking and there's listening. Too many of us say, okay, God, this is my prayer request. I'm out. And we never listen. We never listen. Why should God's, if you think of it like this, if it's a phone call, why should God's end of the line have an earpiece but not a mouthpiece? And that's how we treat God. God, you just listen to what I want, and you do the hand motions, do whatever it is, hocus pocus. You make it happen, and I'll come to you when I need something else. And we treat prayer, and we treat the relationship with God as if it's, God, I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to provide. God's a genie in the bottle. I'm going to pray, you give. I pray, you give. That's not what Christian relationship is. Instead, God wants us to be with Him. God wants us to speak with Him. God will speak back to us. God does not always, and I would even venture to say very rarely, will God speak audibly. I'm not foolish enough to say that He doesn't. But I will say this, I've never heard God's voice audibly. But I have heard the Spirit speak to me. I have heard the Spirit say, you need to do this versus that. I've had the Spirit pull out Scripture as I'm reading and say, this is what you need to focus on today, boy. There are times, like this morning I read, reading through it, it's a year-long 52-week, it's only 52 entries on a, it's a devotional type thing based off of Psalm 51. And today it is, I want your mercy. So the idea is, how do I seek God's mercy? How do I live in his mercy? How do I give his mercy throughout this whole week? This idea of meditating on God's word. What is God bringing out to me? And God will speak to us through his word most of all. So if you're not reading God's word, if you're not hanging out in scripture, if you're not learning what God says about who he is and what he does, how will you understand his voice any other way? So God speaks to us predominantly, mostly through his word. But he will also speak to us in our spirit. Some of you may think it's your conscience. This morning we talked about the idea with Cain and Abel, and God comes to him before he blows it and says, Cain, be careful. You better watch out. Sin's waiting to destroy you. Sin's waiting to pounce on you. And God comes to Cain, not after he sins. He does come later. But he comes to Cain before he sins, before he blows it, before he makes the decision. And God will do the same thing for you and me. He will come to us and speak to us, sometimes in that still small voice, sometimes through reading his word. Sometimes it's through other people that God will affirm things or do things, and someone will be telling a story, and God is speaking to you, and it has nothing to do with what they're telling the story about. Sometimes you will come to church, and you will think that the pastor has been reading your email that week, and he stole your phone, and he deals with whatever's going on in your life. I promise you, this was planned out a long time ago. As a matter of fact, I know what's happening the week after next week, the week after that, and the week following those. I've got it planned. Well, God, through God's Spirit, we've planned out pretty much the rest of the year. So when you show up, I have not been tracking you. But God, in his providence and his wisdom, will speak through even idiots like me to you. Now, some weeks you're going to leave and say, that dude said nothing to me and I don't understand what he's talking about. And some weeks you're going to be leaving like, wow, what's going on? God speaks to us. And sometimes we wish it was an audible voice. Oftentimes we do. God, can you write it on the wall like you did for Nebuchadnezzar? I need to know what's going on here. And God just says, "You, when you seek me, you'll find me, boy. Keep knocking, I'm going to answer. Keep looking for me, and we're going to make it happen." So God will speak to us. The question is, will we listen? Will we hear? We got to train ourselves to hear God. And sometimes it takes a while for us to hear the Spirit. And it even takes longer for us to obey it because we're all knuckleheads. Last thing is this. What do we do if prayer is not answered? Prayer is so simple. If it's honest communication, if it's open dialogue, if it's constant prayer, if it's me talking to God and him talking to me, what about when I pray and he doesn't answer my prayer? You ever had a kid going to do something really stupid, like stick their finger in a fan, and like you see them walking, and like you see the fan, and you're like, they're about to get the hurt of their life because they're going to stick their finger through the fan grate and touch the blades. Something along that line. Maybe they're going toward a light socket with a fork, and you're like, this is going to hurt, and you stop them. Or maybe they're running toward the road to get a ball, and you see a car coming, and you grab them. How do they respond to you? Not in a very pleasant manner. They will probably cry and kick and pitch a fit and say, "You never let me do anything." Sometimes God sees us sticking our finger in a fan or running into the road after a ball. And he says, no, I'm not giving you that. No, I'm not going to answer that prayer because it's going to hurt you. No, I'm not going to answer that prayer because it's not the best thing for you. Even if it's a good thing, doesn't mean it's the best thing for you. We believe that what we want is what we need. You ever had someone say, I need that? Have you ever gone to the grocery store with a child and went down the cereal aisle? And they need that? Or you walk down the toy aisle and they need that? Really, they want that. There's a difference. Because when we walk out of the store without the box of cereal or the toy, life will go on. They want it. They don't really need it. But we act like what we want is what we need. And if God doesn't just hop to it, we pitch a fit and we cry like the kid who you don't let run in the road. Like the kid you stop from sticking their finger in the fan. Like the kid who you take the fork away from when they're going toward the electrical socket. Sometimes God says no because it's not best for us. Sometimes God says no because we have no idea what we're asking for. You ever look back in your life and say, whew, God, thank you for not answering that prayer because, boy, was that dumb. Sometimes you get to do that, sometimes you don't. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, it says, therefore, I tell you, all the things you pray and ask for, all the things you pray and ask for, believe that you have received them and you will have them. Some people read this and say, okay, God, give me what I want. Give me what I want. Give me what I want. Give me the Escalade. Give me the new Xbox. Give me the lotto numbers. Give me what I want. But if you look at verse 25 and it says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven will also forgive your wrongdoing. And you're like, God, why you had to throw that verse there? I want this, and God said, what's going on in your heart? God, I want you to bless me in this area. And God says, what's going on in your heart? Do you have hate for a brother in your heart? You better go ask for forgiveness. Have you hurt your spouse? Have you been mean to your kids? I know this is a foreign idea, but sometimes as parents, we need to apologize to our children because we don't always get it right. And it models for them humility and repentance, and it's a good thing. You're not perfect. So maybe we need to apologize to our children and say, I did this the wrong way. In anger, I did this. Or in anger, I said this, and I was wrong. Or maybe you need to go get things right with someone else. Sometimes God doesn't answer your prayer because we've got sin in our life that we refuse to deal with. In the Lord's Prayer, God says, forgive us as we forgive those who've sinned against us. If most of us had to wait on God's forgiveness the way other people have to wait on ours, Lord help us. We'd be lost, wretched people forever. Because we want forgiveness, but we don't want to give it. I want to end with this portion of scripture and try to make a point. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is telling a parable about asking and praying. In verse 7, he says, keep asking, it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open to him. So God's saying, be persistent. Verse 9 says, what man among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then are evil, know how If you then are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? This summer when I was in Africa, a guy made a point about this, and I thought it was a great point. He said this: a lot of times we have not because we ask not. Scripture says that. You have because you don't have because you don't ask. And here's Jesus says, knock and the door will be open. Search and you will find. Seek and you're going to get it. Sometimes we don't have answers to prayers because we pray for the wrong things. Sometimes we don't have answers to prayer because it will hurt us. Sometimes we don't have answers to prayer because it is bad for us. Sometimes we don't have answers to prayer because there is sin and unforgiveness in our own lives. Sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. Now, I'm not about to teach you that prosperity gospel that says whatever you want, name it and claim it, because that is unbiblical. But it does say this: you are evil parents. We don't want to think of ourselves that way, but it says, hey, we're bad. And if Eli or Asa or Amos said, hey, Dad, can I have a little roll of bread? Can I get a piece of bread? I'm not going to give him a rock that looks like bread, and I'll be like, hey, pretend it's bread. If my son say, hey, Dad, can I get some fish? I'm not going to give him a snake. And that's the same way God is. Ask God. And even though you don't get what you want, he's not going to give you a rock. He's not going to give you a snake when you want a fish, because he's not going to hurt you. Sometimes we don't get what we want is because it will hurt us. And God is not going to be the one who hurts us. So ask. Ask freely. Have that gut level honesty. Realize what you need is not necessarily, or what you want is not necessarily what you need. You might need transportation, but you don't need a new Escalade. You might want one, but you don't need it. So the more we talk to God, the more we learn from him, the more we get our priorities straight, the more we hear his voice, the more there's two-way conversation, the more we get to walk with him. And Christian atheists say there's a God, but I'm not going to talk to him. How can we have relationship with somebody when you don't talk to them? That's not relationship at all. And that's what God desires for us. So I want to let you respond to that. I want you to kind of soak that in and think about. Maybe there's something that you've been asking for. Maybe there's something you want to pray about. The altar's open. Grab a friend that will come and pray with you. I encourage you to seek out God in prayer. I encourage you to read your Bible and listen to what God's teaching you and respond in prayer. So as Chris plays, I invite you to stand. What is God teaching you about prayer? What is God telling you right now? The altar's open. I would love to pray with you. Seek the Father. When you seek him, he's faithful to answer you. May not be the answer you want, but he'll answer you. He's a faithful God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you're a God who loves us. You're a God who desires relationship with us, that you are God who gave us prayer. And so, Father, today we pray that we would not put prayer on the back burner, but we would focus on it. That prayer would be honest, that it would be constant, that prayer would be listening and not just talking, and that when you don't answer our prayer, that we would understand that you're answer for us is always the best, even though it's not always what we like. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to us. Make us yearn to pray. Make us yearn to be in your presence so that prayer can change us. In Jesus' name, amen.